Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from A New Philosophy of Life by John Herman Randall, published in 1911. There was once a time when scientists talked a great deal about dead matter. But today there is no such scientific thing as dead matter. It is all living matter. If you hold in your hand certain substances, carbon, sulfur, and saltpeter, for example, there is nothing that indicates energy or force. They are inert. But if you bring them together, you have gunpowder. From where comes the power that now exists in this explosive? Did you put it in as you mixed them together? Not at all. Where then did it come from? Ask the scientists, and they say it is due to inherent energy. What do they mean by that? Perhaps they themselves do not know. The old line of demarcation between organic and inorganic, between the living world and the dead world, has vanished. And we are confronted by the stupendous thought that what we call dead matter is alive throughout, and not to the thinking of the spiritualist alone, but to that of the scientist as well. Scientists now say that we always find life associated with matter. There appears to be good reason for holding that every atom is alive. It was Herbert Spencer who said that natural science is trending not to a world of dead matter, but rather a universe that is everywhere alive. There is something else to be said about this new universe into which we are moving, something which is still more wonderful and startling, and that is that this universe of ours is not only living in all its tiniest atoms, but that the mind is present everywhere throughout the universe. There are scientists who have argued at great length to show that every physical process is always accompanied by a psychic process. That is, wherever we find physical matter, there we will find mind present in some form. Biologists have said that the tiny cell, which is the unit of all organisms, is an embodied bit of mind. That what we used to call vital or physiological processes of the cell are now recognized as psychic processes, and that all functions of the tiny cell must proceed from mind. In short, the life of a cell must consist solely of its mental activities. We are living in a world which is full of life and energy, in which there is no such thing as dead or lifeless matter. And still another fact must be noted about this enlarged universe into which we have come. It is a unity. The ancients could not conceive of the universe in terms of unity. They did not dream of the unity that we know to exist. With the spectroscope, we can examine the elements of the sun, moon, and stars. We find that the same elements are there that are here. We study the forces of these heavenly bodies, millions of miles removed from us, and discover that the same forces, gravitation, heat, light, and electricity, operate there just as they do here. The same laws prevail there that prevail here, and wherever we can go, wherever we may search, wherever our wonderful instruments have been able to penetrate, everywhere we find not only law, but the same law. There is unity throughout. Now, there is one more step in our fascinating journey. As we ponder upon the marvelous facts which modern science reveals of the universe, gradually there emerges from our thinking the luminous, yet startling thought. That is, that there is no other way to think of this universe except as a living organism. The old materialistic idea of the universe as a machine made up of physical matter and run simply in accordance with certain physical laws is no longer possible. We are thinking today of the universe as an organism, alive throughout, surcharged with vital energy, throbbing and pulsating with power of mind, from its very center to its farthest circumference. Not a dead world, not a mechanical world, not a world once made by God who sits far off, but an organism which is living, breathing, and pulsating constantly, with infinite energy, infinite life, infinite power. This new understanding, born of science, has profoundly impacted our age-long search after God. No truly religious person can fail to be grateful for these divine revelations of science, which are helping immeasurably to make God real to countless human lives. No longer do we look to some distant throne to find God. No longer do we journey afar through the universe to ascertain a heavenly dwelling place. We know that if there is a God at all, it is this infinite spirit that fills the universe full of its life, its mind, and its energy. The scientist and the philosopher today, when asked for their conception of God, will answer, "There is only one conception that we can entertain of God. That is, it is universal mind, the supreme power that fills the universe, which is not only once created, but is continually being created. God is not only here, but everywhere. The infinite life, this universal mind, this soul of the universe, this God who is really pervading and sustaining all that goes to make up this wondrous universe. This is what the new theologians call the immanent God, and what new thought authors call the universal mind. Or as an old German proverb puts it, God is sleeping in the stone, dreaming in the animal, coming to consciousness in every woman and man." The relation of this infinite power or God to the universe is the same as the relation of the human soul to the body. The universe, as we see it, is God's body. Thus, God is the soul of the universe, just as you are the soul of your body. Can you lay your finger on yourself? Is your hand you? Is your foot you? Is your brain you? Where are you? Can anyone localize you in your body? You pervade your body through and through. When you are looking intently at some object, to all practical purposes, you are in your eyes. When you are consciously working with your hands, for all intents and purposes, you are in your hands. You are immanent in your body. There is not one atom of your body where you are not. But still, you are not your body. The time is coming when you will surrender your body to the forces of dissolution, but you will not perish. God is the soul of the universe, just as your soul is immanent in the body. To make this idea clear, imagine the universe shaped like a gigantic human body. God is to this infinite form or universe what you are to your physical form or body. This does not mean that God is identical with the universe, but that the spirit is in every part of it, thrilling, pulsating, living in it all, just as you live, thrill and pulsate throughout your body. And just as you, who dwell within the body and also transcend the body, so does God transcend the universe. This has been the conception of philosophers here and there, the thought of poets like Wordsworth now and then. It has been the idea entertained by certain free thinkers in the history of religious thought. But never until today have such new vistas of truth opened up before every individual life, granting glorious new outlooks and fresh sources of rejuvenating power. How wonderful the thought that God is not outside but within, that we cannot escape the divine, however we may try, for it is here. The God of infinite power, whose greatness we see manifested everywhere in nature about us, is the same God who is waiting to manifest itself within you, to open up undreamed of possibilities in the attainment of character and spiritual development. Sometimes we catch glimpses now and then of what it means to be a real woman or man. And then the clouds gather and we lose the vision. But the fact that the glimpse came at all, that we once caught the vision of the meaning of manhood and womanhood, ought to be the surest sign to us that the selfish and materialistic lives we are living do not begin to represent what we can be and what we might attain, if we but come to understand ourselves and the infinite resources of power at our command. Emmanuel means God with us. That is what people want, what people hunger for, and what people are searching for today. A real God. Not a God who once was, but a God who now is. Not a God who once spoke, but a God who now speaks. Not a God who once acted, but a God who works today. And that God is here. That God is within you, within us.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.